A lot of good news this morning and all the great songs and good word. Thankful to be together with you. God's mercy is new every morning, certainly showering upon us today. So we're really glad about that. And in the second century, Christian leader Tertullian relays a story about the Roman government inspecting Christians. They want to know, who are these Christians? What do they believe? What do they do? What are they up to, you know? Are they subversive or what's going on there? And a report came back from the secular government containing these words about Christians. See how they love one another. See how they love one another. That was like the big report. Sum total of what these Christians are like. Well, we don't understand everything they believe in, but we sure see that they do love one another. And that's a credit to the Lord as Christians lived out Jesus' teaching. Love one another the same way that he has loved us. By this men will all men know you're my followers if you love one another. And two times in John's gospel, Jesus defines following him pretty clearly and right to the point. Earlier, Jesus said this, if you continue in my word, then you are really my disciples. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So it's getting into what the Lord tells us about himself, following through with doing that. That's a part of being a follower of the Lord. That's, you know, why a good part of what we do here, get into the word and get into the word throughout the week. And then the second one here in John 13, if you love one another, then that's a really clear sign to folks that you're really a follower of Jesus. And so those two invitations, commands, things that the Lord helps us do are part of our following the Lord. In this case, discipleship is defined by love. Okay, Christian maturity defined by love. Christian growth defined by love. And how do you know if you love somebody? You know, trying to live out this commandment. Your brother and sister in Christ, that's where it starts. Neighbor, part of the two great commands. The person right in front of you. Question, how do you know if you love somebody? And the answer is, I think, in a practical way, you just know. Okay, you just know. Nobody has to come up and say, yeah, you're not loving that person. Okay? Or, hey, you're really loving. You know if you're loving somebody. And I know if I'm loving somebody. You really know. It kind of relates to Romans chapter 8, verse 16, where God's word says, God's spirit tells our spirit that we are children of God. God's spirit tells our spirit that we are children of God. I think in a similar way, God's spirit tells our spirit whether we are loving the people around us. Okay, God's spirit tells us that. And so he's a clear spokesman, as it were. And, you know, I thought, boy, if I could find a book, 100 Ways to Love People, I'd buy it. And, you know, maybe be able to do three my whole life or something like that. But the Lord never seems to give us that. In fact, well, in preparing for this sermon, I was a little frustrated because I went to various websites of good, really good preachers, and they would have topics that they went over in resources of writings or sermons and so forth. And boy, it was just a fantastic variety of topics: sovereignty of God, heaven, joy, prayer, hell, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, you name it, you could find it. One word I did not find on the list of most sermon topics and writings of believers. And it was like, oh, yeah, yeah, there goes my sermon. You know, I don't have no material here. love was not listed as a major sermon topic or resource, and so on. And so, but I know that that's not a major, in terms of mercy, not a sin of omission, but a need that maybe we take for granted. You know, maybe we take for granted, oh, of course you love one another. What else are you going to do? But again, God will testify to your spirit if you really love the people around you. And it's meant to fuel action on their behalf, if it does bring conviction and so forth. And so that's a great commandment that Jesus gives us. It's a sign that we do follow him. Jesus didn't say, well, you know, people will know you're my disciples if you have the right doctrine. That's really important, but that's secondary. Okay? In his word, yes, right doctrine. Second, primary, love. Okay? Jesus didn't say, by this, people will know you're my disciple if you have lots of Bible knowledge. That's very important. But it's not how much I know, but what I put into practice that's important. As one old preacher said, it's not so much what I don't understand in the Bible that bothers me. It's what I do understand and don't put into practice. That's what really concerns me. Okay. And so it's love first and good word coming after we're impacted by love. Jesus didn't say, by this will all men know you're my disciples. If you have spiritual gifts and pray an hour a day, that will be helpful, really helpful. But it's really his love as the key. The world is looking for a little bit of love, aren't they? They really are. You talk to the lost person, you know, they're surrounded by a world of unresolved conflict and hate. Okay, it really is. So they're looking, can God's love break through all this? And the believer would say, oh yes, he does and he can. And I want to express that with the goodness of God behind us. So love comes first. And the old saying, people don't care how much you know, but they want to know how much you love. They care about how much you love. My family, for example, my wife does not care how much of the Psalms I have read this past week, but she does care very much how I treat her. She's concerned about that, rightfully so. My sons, they don't really care how well I preach, but they do care if I give them some unconditional love and give them some basic discipline. They care about that. My neighbors, they really don't care how many times I go to church. I drive by and wave or beat the horn, get out of my way, whatever the case may be. They don't really care how much I go to church, but they do care how much I love them. And so the love of God in the life of a Christian, very, very key, a pretty strong indication that, oh, I want to surrender my life to God. And he's merciful, leading us in that really great life that he puts before us in terms of love. God cares a lot about love. In the first half of John's gospel, love is mentioned 12 times. So maybe once a chapter or so. But in the second half of John's gospel, when Jesus nears communion and the cross, resurrection, love is mentioned 44 times. Okay, so as the disciples mature, teaching on love is ramped up. And I hope you hear this and get this in your soul, that God's love expressed through us is not just an elementary doctrine, something that we're taught probably first week we're a believer, you know, love each other. It's not just an elementary doctrine. It is a PhD level doctrine, isn't it? Really mature Christians are really, really good at loving other people. Okay. Really mature Christians are really, really good at loving other people. And again, God will help us with that. We can't do that on our own. But if you could use your hands for a remembering of the Bible, Romans 5:5. Okay, 5:5. There you go. God's love has been poured out into our hearts by his Holy Spirit. So whether you're a Christian who's, you know, walked with the Lord for 70 years, or you just received Christ last week, you can love your brother and sister in Christ. Love your neighbor as yourself. God empowers us to do that. And so it's a wonderful opportunity to follow the Lord. And so some summary points that may be of help to you. If I find a clicker over here, if not, old Jim and Ryan will bail me out. Here it is. One thing, we're created to love God and love people. Jesus teaches that through the two great commandments, you know. He says, there is nothing more important than this. You can't think of anything more important than this, Jesus said. Love God, love people. Called to love the people around you. Okay, and again, you don't choose who you get to love. God chooses the people around you, and then you're called, and I'm called to love them. So we're made to love God and love people. Evil, interesting, when people study evil, great thinkers, Augustine, from Augustine to Ravi Zacharias, they often say this, evil is an absence of the good, and therefore it's an absence of love. And how true I've found that in my life. Or you look at any major sin problem in our own hearts or in the world, you might say, well, that's horrible, terrible, no good, and very bad. But you would also say, there's not love there. There's not love there when that sin is there. And so God would provide that in the person of himself and the living out of believers. Let love be genuine. Really love the people around us. And again, God can help us with that. There's, again, the two keys of discipleship. Hold to the word. Love one another. In my own life, I'm probably better holding to the word than loving other people. Not to mention the obvious, okay. But a lot of believers in the West are going to lean in that direction, because in the West we do stress academics and we do stress learning and so forth. To even be a preacher, you have to go and study, you know, how many years and all this other, you know. Whether you love people or not, who knows? Just so you could explain, you know, John's gospel. But really, God doesn't say that's all you need. And so to balance it off, if you are holding to the word, that's good. Ramp up your love for others. Ramp up your love for others. Because that's just as important. Okay? Just as important. Let your love match your Bible knowledge. That's challenging. Let your love match your Bible knowledge. If you're on the other side, which is a common problem, I love a lot. You might say, I love a lot. I love everybody. I'll do whatever needs to be done. Getting into God's Word takes up too much time, too hard, don't understand it, you know, not interested. Ramp up your holding to the Word. If you're big on love, not big on holding to his word, continuing his word. So Jesus is really helping us be conformed to his image. And of course, he loved God and his word all the time, and certainly was the greatest lover that ever was. So hold on to love. Cling to the good. Let love be genuine. Has to be from the Lord. Faking love's no good. You feel horrible when you fake love, you know. Feel like you should go take a bath or something after that. But Jesus' blood will wash your sins away, as we've heard. And then Paul says, in terms of loving that believers could do in commandment, I hate what is evil, abhor what is evil. Here's a list of just the evil that could come out of the heart. Really should have just quoted Jesus in Mark Chapter 7 and 8, but here's a listing of a mix of Romans 1, 2 Timothy, and also Mark's Gospel. This disobedience to God, which we're really to say, I hate that. One attribute of that is love grown cold. Okay, and ask the Lord, Lord, don't let our love grow cold, because the world's getting cold. You know, we have a stone heart without the Lord's help. So he'll promise to replace our heart of stone with a heart of flesh, with a new heart, a new spirit. Greed, coveting, idolatry, really common. Put it before God, forsake that. Fear of men, a big deal. you know, wanting to please men as opposed to pleasing and trusting God. Divorce, divorce can happen to anyone. With the mercy of God, you get a new, fresh start and be about more about unity than division. The truth of Jesus will be divisive enough. You don't have to do that with your own self. Abuse and violence, in family life, in church life, we got to guard against that all the time, you know. And we'll just say this to identify with the plight of the world. You know, it's no secret, really. You could research. From the Catholic Church to the Alliance Church, abuse and violence is a problem. Okay. From the Catholic Church to the Alliance Church, abuse and violence is a problem. And we always have to look after each other about that. We're thankful for the people who spur us in that direction. Some of the folks, most of them on DMC there. Pride and ingratitude, that shows a heart against God. Abortion and prejudice, we can turn to God in those areas. And be brokenhearted with the brokenhearted. No excuse for any prejudice whatsoever. And one of the great things about America, you know, any race can be impacted by Jesus and his people. And hopefully we lead the way in anti-prejudice work. There's a fellow, John Perkins, from Mississippi. He's still living. He served on President Reagan's racial reconciliation committee. And he was respected by, you know, across the board. Pastor in Mississippi, I think he's still ministering. But anything by John Perkins can help you on that. Unforgiveness, that's something to hate. Oh, that cripples us up. I have this one here. Pornography and human trafficking. All right, you may not connect the two, but they're really connected. In human trafficking, somebody takes your wife or daughter, and they ship them off, and they say, you've got to do this or we're going to kill you. Okay, so that's immorality, and that's all kind of violence and so forth. But pornography is very similar. A lot of people who begin in human trafficking end up in pornography. So if you're like a pornography dabbler, when you go for pornography, you're actually supporting taking young people and either forcibly saying, do this, or saying, we're not going to force you to do it, but how about $1 million? I give you $1 million to do this. Because if I get you to do this, I'll make $2 million. That's pornography. So if pornography is a part of your mentality or a part of your hobby life, you should know it's not just what it is, but it's connected to all kind of against God issues. And thank the Lord, there's ministries reaching out to the pornography and the human trafficking folk, you know, I mean, and on the right side, real nasty. Hate, selfishness, and self-righteousness, laziness, gossip, hate anti-Sabbath, anti-church. Reminded when Saul of Tarsus, what was he into before he met Christ? He hated the church. He hated the church. Don't hate the church by your unlove. Don't hate the church by your cold love. Okay. Love Jesus' people. And then, there, of course, little worship, hate that, Bible, Lord's name in vain, massive cultural problem, the culture, and say, okay, God's love more powerful than all these. Don't want to belabor on those things. But here's some, to love each other, just like Jesus loved us. He went to the cross, and he served. Rose from the dead victorious. So we take action as a part of our love. We don't wait to feel, you know, to feel right. We don't ever want to say, well, when I feel like it, I'm going to go love my family, love my Christian brother and sister. When I feel like it, I'm going to share the gospel. The Holy Spirit didn't tell me to go to church today. Liar. You know, you basically take the action, and then your feelings will come after that. Love everyone as your neighbor. That's the way the Lord does. He so loved everybody. Love someone as your neighbor. Focus it in. You know, there's a big difference if I say, I love you, all of you, but to take the time to love one, that's a calling that the Lord helps us with. And then this is a good one, I think, from the old Robbie Zacharias. You cannot love without knowing pain in this fallen world. So we understand we're hesitant to love because it's going to take time, heart, tears, you know, your sincere interest in somebody else. Sure. But as Jesus has loved us, and you'll be fulfilled. I'll say this as a Christian. My greatest accomplishment as a Christian has been when I have effectively loved somebody. My worst sins as a Christian is when I have not loved people, individuals, or groups of people. That's my greatest failures. And see if, you know, you feel the same way between you and the Lord in there. But cannot love without knowing pain. And then some other things that might help us put the love into practice. This is from SIM. This is a preview of next week. Rachel Wilson speaking. SIM's major mission calling is this: respond to the need. You see people around you. What are they doing? A compassionate response gives you an opportunity to share of the good news of Christ and His good word. Compassionate response. Respond to the need. And I would say a big deal on this one is listening. How much the Lord loves us by listening to us. All our prayers and praises and times of repentance. But when I go to a doctor, the cardiologist, he's like a big, you know, big deal on the heart thing. He listens to my heart for about 4 minutes, which is for a doctor, that's a lot. For a doctor not to say anything for 4 minutes. Checks four parts of my heart. Checks these things. Checks my ankles. What does he do? Checking my ankles with his thing. You know. Oh, you know. Is there a heartbeat down there? Checks the back. Breathe. Don't breathe. And he's just listening. Don't talk. He's not talking. Thank the Lord. You know. And when the Lord loves us, He just listens. When you love somebody, would you just listen to their heart? Just listen to their heart. What are they feeling? What are they feeling? You know, do they feel crushed? Do they feel upset? Do they feel bored? I can feel that. Yeah. Do they feel whatever? Listen to that feeling. Respond to the need. And then the SIM dear people say, tell of Jesus and His love. Hey, the Lord can help you with that. You can say that much. The Lord can help you with that. And if they say, how? Then you keep praying and wait till God gives you something else. Some good word, you know. Well, let me look to see something in the Bible and I'll give it to you. Or you share right with them from your own life. And then you build up the church and the person. It's a great SIM. It has this as their a major, you know, focus. Okay, I'm not just going to help this person. I'm going to try to help get this person connected to everybody. And God will give His kindness there. And so, just in closing, the great opportunity to love. And again, to do this, because we know Jesus is right. And this is how His love has impacted us. And just say, hey, if you're not good at it, what do? We confess our sin and He helps us be strong with the love of Christ. Love is the most Christ-like action you can do. The most joyful action you can do. I'd have to say that's true for my own life. When I'm loving people, I'm pretty joyful. When I'm not loving, I'm pretty cranky. Most unselfish action you can do. So it's about the other person. Most sacrificial thing you could do and most fulfilling action you can do. And just that good word, do everything in love. And so you're a good disciple. You're a good disciple. And so you love as Christ has loved us. And we're going to be around His table where He loved us a lot. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for inviting us to follow you. And we want to do so by continuing in your word, all truth. Isn't that great? All truth without error, the good word of God. And so to continue in your word so we might know that truth and be set free, and then to love each other as you have loved us. And this is seems almost a little harder than the first command, but you can, your love resides in us, so we put into practice the love that we've received. So be with each dear one here, Lord. I thank you that I see them loving each other and loving others, and this is something we all want to grow in. And just let your love be preeminent in our lives as much as any other quality, for sure. And